Hello everybody, it's Tani here. Welcome to this final week of this term of Total Body Freedom classes. I just wanted to say hello to everybody, whether you're on the call live or whether you're listening later on the recording. I'm just going to ask those of you who are on the call live, if you can hear me fairly clearly, to press 1 on your phone. And if I sound blurry or distorted, press 2, and that will just let me know if I need to dial back in. Oh good, I'm getting 1. Excellent. So we can get started. So today being the last week of the term, I wanted to leave you with a lesson that's a real classic Feldenkrais lesson, and also that is really, really gentle and really one that you can do really anywhere, anytime. You can even do it in bed. It's a very, very gentle, easy lesson. And so yeah, so this lesson is, Moshe Feldenkrais's most famous book is called Awareness Through Movement. And in that book he includes 10 very classic Feldenkrais lessons. And they really are absolute standards. You'll find them in any Feldenkrais class. They're really, really basic ones, and they're really, really fundamental ones for our movement patterns. And I've already taught one of those lessons this term, which was the triangle arms lesson. And today I'm going to teach another one of those 10 classic lessons, and this one is called pelvic clock. It's a very, very subtle, tiny, gentle lesson, but it's amazing for freeing up your hips, pelvis, lower back, spine, changing the relationship between your spine, your pelvis, and your legs. So I want us to start the class by coming up to standing on your 2 feet, and just take a bit of a snapshot of how you're standing now. Notice, do you stand more on your left foot or your right foot? Is one knee more bent than the other? And then just bring your attention to your pelvis, the front, the back, the sides of your pelvis. Do you feel like your pelvis is turned a little bit to the left or to the right? You could imagine there was a torch beam or a flashlight beam coming straight out of the middle of your pubic bone. Do you feel like it's shining straight ahead, or is it shining a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right? And that will be different for everybody. And then also sense, do you feel like your pelvis is tilted one way or the other? So maybe it's tilted forward so that you have a very arched or sway back, or maybe you feel like your pelvis is tilted backwards so it feels like you're tucked under a little bit. Or maybe you feel like you're in the middle. Just noticing what you sense. And the answer may be, I don't know where my pelvis is. I have not used to sensing it. And that's totally fine. There will be many people who won't be able to answer this question, because it's a very subtle thing to sense in space where our pelvis is. And I don't expect everyone to be able to feel that at this stage. Those of you who've done a lot of Feldenkrais classes might find it a bit easier to sense this. So now go for a little walk. And just start to notice firstly how your 2 legs are swinging. Do you feel like one leg is swinging more freely than the other, or taking bigger steps than the other? And then just start to bring your attention to the movement in your pelvis as you walk. It's a funny thing to pay attention to. Some of you might feel like your pelvis is really swinging from side to side, or forwards and backwards, or up and down, or maybe it's making circles. Some of you might feel like your pelvis is not moving at all, and that it's more that your legs that are moving or your back that's moving. It's going to be very different for everybody. There's no right or wrong. Just notice how you're sensing. Now let's look at our slinkometer, how slinky we feel. So just give a general score out of 10 for how slinky you feel in your body as you walk. And then also give a score out of 10 for how slinky you feel in your pelvis. How free does your pelvis feel, pelvis and hips? And then come back over and lie on the floor. This lesson we'll be doing mainly lying on the back, so if you need to fold up a towel and put it behind your head, do that. It's going to be that sort of lesson where we're going to be pretty much in one position the whole time. We won't be rolling to the side or anything. So I'd suggest for most people to take a towel and just fold it up, put it behind your head. And then if you're comfortable to have your legs long, just start the lesson with your legs long. But if your lower back's injured at the moment or sore and you need to bend the legs, that's fine. And just start by sensing the way your 2 legs are lying. Does one leg feel like it's turned out or rolled out more than the other? And then notice the back of your pelvis. This whole lesson today is about creating more awareness of our pelvis and how we organize movement through our pelvis. So just notice at the start of the lesson, do you feel like your pelvis is tilted a little bit to the left or to the right? So again, you could imagine that torch beam or that flashlight beam coming out of the middle of your pelvis. Does it feel like it's shining over to the left or shining over to the right a little bit? or does it feel like it's in the middle? Another way to ask this is you could imagine there was a book resting on top of your pelvis, on top of your pubic bone. Do you feel like that book would slide off to the left, or would it slide off to the right, or would it just stay sitting there? So my pelvis feels like it's turning a little bit to the right. I feel like a book would slide off and land on the floor on the right. So that lets me know that my pelvis at the moment is a tiny bit tilted. Everybody's will be different, and it will be different on any given day depending on your level of muscle contraction, whether you've injured yourself, how free your body is, how connected your body is. But often you'll start to see patterns emerging over time, and you'll start to realize that you actually have habitual ways that you're holding your pelvis or holding your spine. And now I want you to notice, do you feel like your pelvis is rolled forwards so that the weight of your pelvis is resting more down towards the tip, towards the tailbone, which would make your lower back quite arched? Or do you feel like your pelvis is tilted back a little bit so that the weight is more towards the top of your pelvis, towards the juncture of the lower back, in which case your back could feel quite flat on the floor? So just notice how tilted forwards is your pelvis. And maybe that's very clear for you. Maybe that feels like a confusing question. Just notice whatever you notice. And then bring your attention to your lower back, to the space behind your lower back. How big of an arch is there right now? How high is the arch? How wide is the arch? How long is the arch? And then if you have your legs straight, go ahead and bend your two legs, stand your feet, and just notice what this does to the way your pelvis lies on the floor, the weight of your pelvis, the tilt of your pelvis to the side or forwards or back. Notice the space behind your lower back now, what has changed. Now, we're going to be doing most of this lesson with our knees bent, so I would like you to find a position for your feet that feels really easy so that you could leave your legs there for a long time. So I'm going to actually ask you to take a minute to play with where you have your feet. Maybe you have them further away from you or closer to you. I want you to try just very slowly moving them to a few different places, maybe further out to the side, maybe further in towards each other. Just take a minute to play with a few different places for your feet. A good way to figure out the best place for your feet is to pause each time you place your feet somewhere and just ask, if I was to fall asleep right now, would my legs fall over or would they sort of stand and balance in that spot? So when you find a really stable spot, you'll have a feeling like your legs could just stay there effortlessly. You don't need to use lots of muscular work to keep them there. So if you were to fall asleep, they'd probably keep standing there. Whereas there are other positions where you put them and you know the second you stop contracting your leg muscles, your legs are going to fall over. And so we don't want to have our legs there. We want our legs somewhere that's really stable and easy. So just play with a few more places. Once you find the place that feels the most stable and comfortable for yourself, leave your legs there. Another way to assess this is to imagine someone's going to come and sit on your two knees. If you've placed your legs in a fairly stable place, you'd feel that if they sat on your knees, your legs wouldn't buckle. Whereas if you had your feet in a different place, your legs would probably give way if someone placed any weight on them or sat on them. So that's another way to measure this. So once you've found a really comfortable, stable, easy spot for your legs to rest, and by the way, there are sometimes whole Feldenkrais lessons where all you do is play with where you place your feet until you find the place of most balance. But for today, just a few minutes of exploration is probably enough. Now what I'd like you to do is very gently and slowly roll your pelvis a little bit forwards. And by forwards I mean roll your pelvis so that your lower back becomes a little bit more arched. Very, very gently, very small. And slowly roll your pelvis back to the beginning. And with this movement, especially if you've ever had a sore lower back, I want you to do it very gently, very slowly, very small. So you're just rolling your pelvis forwards a little bit. And the direction is that if you had a tennis ball sitting on your pubic bone, as you rolled your pelvis forwards, that ball would fall onto the floor in front of you between your legs. So that's the direction I mean by roll your pelvis forwards. You feel that it invites your back to arch gently. And then as you slowly roll your pelvis back to the middle, your lower back flattens back to neutral again. Just continue to explore this very, very tiny movement. In this lesson, the smaller, the better. And now pause, come back to the middle, and let's roll our pelvis the other way. Roll the pelvis towards you a little bit. You might even want to gently press your feet into the floor to roll your pelvis towards you. You'll feel that your lower back flattens a little bit, but it's very subtle. And then you slowly unpress your feet, roll your back pelvis back to the middle, and everything comes back to neutral. And just continue to explore this second direction. Again, really, really, really small, very gentle. Is this direction easier or was rolling forwards easier? Most people will have a preference. If you are pressing through the feet, notice you're pressing more through one foot or through the other. Are you rolling your pelvis straight towards you or does it go a little bit to one side? Just paying attention to these subtleties. And then come back to the middle. So we've got two directions, forwards and backwards. Now in a moment, I'm going to ask you to go forwards and then through the middle and then backwards and then through the middle, but really, really slowly. But I want you to do it without hitting a wall in either direction. So it's not like push, let go. It's more like roll, roll, roll. And as you roll, you're already thinking of coming back while you're going there. So you're never actually hitting any end point or any edge or any wall. There's no feeling of push. But go ahead and start to play with that, rolling your pelvis a tiny bit forwards, and then before you meet any kind of resistance, you're already coming back again through the middle and rolling your pelvis gently towards you. And before you hit any kind of wall, you're already going forwards again. So it's not about going to the maximum range, but staying in a very small, effortless range. That's one of the biggest differences between Feldenkrais and other modalities, that we're not about pushing the edges, we're about growing the whole thing effortlessly, rather than at any point pushing. And notice which direction's easier for your body. And then leave it. Lengthen your two legs and have a rest. If it's not comfortable to lengthen your legs, you may just want to keep them bent. And just notice after doing that tiny little exploration, how does your pelvis lie on the floor? How does your lower back lie on the floor? And as I said, this lesson is about subtlety and precision. It's not about size of movement. So with all of these pelvic movements we're going to be doing, I want you to keep them really, really tiny. And then bend your knees again, stand your feet. Now I want you to imagine that your pelvis is resting on a very small clock. Actually, it's more like a wristwatch. It's very small. It's maybe the size of a large coin or a small coffee mug. That's how wide it is. It's a very small clock. And your pelvis is sitting on that clock. Back of your pelvis is sitting on that clock. So the middle of the clock, you have the center where the two hands meet. And then if you were to roll your pelvis forward so that your back arches, your pelvis would roll onto 6 o'clock. And if you were to roll your pelvis towards you so that your lower back flattens and gently press your feet, you would be rolling towards 12 o'clock. And if you were to roll your pelvis a little bit to the right, you'd be rolling towards 3 o'clock. And if you were to roll your pelvis a little bit to the left, you'd be rolling towards 9 o'clock. That's the orientation of the clock. And I want you to just start to do that forwards and backwards movement really slowly, imagining that you're rolling from the middle of the clock a little bit forwards to 6 o'clock, and then a little bit back to 12 o'clock. And it's very small. Very small. Because it's only a small clock you're rolling on, so you don't need to do a big movement. And does it change anything to feel that now you're moving through the center line of this clock? Now the next time you're resting at 12 o'clock, pause there. Now I want you to go round the outside of the clock to 1 o'clock. So you go from 12 around to the right a little bit to 1 o'clock and then back to 12 o'clock. And just continuing to explore that tiny little piece of the outside edge of the clock between 12 and 1. So it's a curved line that you're tracing. And then go from 12 to 1 to 2 o'clock, and back to 1 and back to 12, Just noticing how this feels. Do you need to press through one of your feet? What happens through your belly, your spine? And then add another number. So you're going from 12 to 1 to 2 to 3 and back to 2 to 1 to 12. Just exploring your semicircle around the outside of your clock. And then the next time you're at 3 o'clock, come straight back over to the middle. And just go from the middle to 3 o'clock a few times. So basically just rolling your pelvis from the middle over to the right. And then back to the middle. And notice, what do you do through your feet? How do you roll from the middle over to 3 o'clock? Your pelvis tilts a bit to the right. Maybe you press a little bit with your left foot. And then you come back to the middle. And then go from the middle to 12 o'clock a few times. Very small, very subtle. And then go from 12 o'clock slowly around the outside to 3. So 12 to 1 to 2 to 3. And then from 3 go across to the middle. And from the middle go up to 12. And it's like you're tracing around this piece of the pie. If someone cut out a piece of pie or a piece of cake, it would be making this shape that you're tracing. And then let that go. Lengthen your legs and have a rest. And just notice while you're resting how your body's lying there on the floor. How your pelvis contacts the floor now. Do you feel a difference in the two sides of your pelvis? Do you feel a difference in the way the two legs lie on the floor? Do you feel a difference in the two sides of your lower back? And then bend your knees again, stand your feet. And this time roll from the middle to 3 o'clock, so just tilting your pelvis to the right a little bit and back to the middle a few times, just to remind yourself of this movement. And then the next time you're at 3 o'clock, pause there. And now roll from 3 around to 4 o'clock. Where is 4 o'clock? Where is 4 o'clock? A little bit down towards your feet. Just a tiny little movement between 3 and 4. And then go from 3 to 4 to 5. So 5 o'clock is near our old favorite, 6 o'clock, which we were doing at the beginning of the lesson. 3 to 4 to 5 to 4 to 3. And keeping this really small. And then keep going through to 6 o'clock. So it's 3, 4, 5. Back to our old favorite, 6 o'clock, and then 5. 4, 3, just tracing this small semicircle. And notice, how does this section of the clock feel different to you than the top right section that we did before? Does one of them feel easier or more familiar? When you next get to 6 o'clock, come straight back up to the middle, and then across to the right to 3 o'clock, and then around the outside, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then back up through the middle. And then over to 3 o'clock and just tracing out very slowly this piece of pie, bottom right-hand corner of your clock. Very small. Very slow. We're interested in precision. You may find some of these numbers are harder to find than others. They're less familiar. Your brain doesn't usually move your pelvis in this section, so it may not feel as familiar than others. Some of them will feel very familiar. And then pause, just rest, lengthen your legs and have a nice rest. And each time you lengthen your legs, just see if there's been any changes in the way your body's contacting the floor. And take a nice deep breath in just to check that your ribs are nice and free. And then bend your knees again, stand your feet. And now roll your pelvis up to 12 o'clock and start to slowly go round the right-hand side of your clock. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then all the way back up through the middle. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and just continue to go around really slowly. And notice for yourself, are there any places in this half clock that are unfamiliar or less familiar than others? Where is it a circle? Where is it not a circle? So there might be some parts that are a bit more square or jagged. How do your feet help you? Is there any point where one foot presses or the other foot presses? And then let that go. Lengthen your legs and just have a rest, complete rest. And noticing how your pelvis is lying on the floor now. Two sides of the pelvis, the tilt of the pelvis. Two sides of the lower back might even be lying differently. Now, this is one of those lessons where it's not physically demanding, but it's very mentally demanding because we're doing very subtle, very precise movements. So if you find your mind wandering or your mind getting tired, just take a little rest for 20 seconds and then come back to the movement or just a few seconds. So you're not needing to rest for physical reasons, but some people might be finding that their attention's wandering. So always just, if that happens, you just take a rest and then you come back to it with fresh eyes. So this lesson is very much about paying attention to the subtle details. Because your brain is getting a chance to really investigate its habits and how it organizes your pelvis. Every single aspect of movement of your pelvis is getting looked at in this lesson. So come back to you now having your legs bent, your feet on the ground. And let's start to look at the other side of our clock. So roll your pelvis up to 12. And start to explore going from 12 to 11 and back to 12. And just notice from the very beginning in this new direction, does it feel foreign or does it feel more familiar? Then you're going from 12 to 11 to 10, back to 11, back to 12. And then adding in another number, 12 to 11 to 10 to 9. Up to 10, up to 11, up to 12. And then when you get to 9 o'clock, start to go from 9 straight across to the middle, and then back up to 12, and then around the outside edge, 12, 11, 10, 9, and then across to the middle. And just start to trace out this quarter of your clock, this piece of pie. How does this piece feel? And reverse the direction. So go from 12 to the middle, then across to 9, and then up from 9 to 12. You're going in the other direction around this piece of pie. How does that feel? And then pause, lengthen your legs, and have a rest. So we've just done a little bit of the left-hand side of the clock, and notice the impact that has had on how you're contacting the floor. And then bend your knees, stand your feet. Roll your pelvis to the left to 9 o'clock and just start to explore 9 to 10 and back to 9. And then go 9 to 10 to 11 to 10 to 9 and just exploring this part of the clock. When do you push through one foot or the other? And then go all the way from 9. Oh, sorry, we're going 9, 8, 7, not 9, 10, 11. Sorry, excuse that. Go from 9 to 8 and back to 9. 9 to 8 and back to 9. And then 9 to 8 to 7 to 8 to 9. Got a bit confused then. 9 to 8 to 7 to 8, 9. And then all the way down to our old favorite 6 o'clock. 9, 8, 7 to 6, 7, 8, 9. And notice, what's this quadrant of your clock like? When you get down to 6, come all the way up to the middle, and then across to 9, and then around the outside edge of that piece of pie, and back up to the middle. And just tracing out that piece of pie. And what does this piece of pie feel like? And then go back in the other direction around this piece of pie, piece of cake. And then let it go. Lengthen your legs and have a nice rest. Notice what it feels like to lie with your legs long now. Do your legs feel a different length or a different width? Is your pelvis lying differently on the floor? Notice your buttocks. Does one buttock feel softer or heavier or wider than the other? Or more muscular. And then bend your knees, stand your feet. And let's roll yourself up to 12 and start to go around the outside of the left-hand side of your clock. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and then back up through the middle. And just going around the left-hand side at your own time and speed. Very gently, easily. Remembering it's a very small clock that you're rolling over. Not big. You might even want to think of it as a wristwatch. Very small. Then go in the other direction around the left-hand side of your clock. When do you push off one foot or the other? And then let it go. Have another rest. Lengthen your... So we've explored the two sides of the clock. Just notice now, do you feel more symmetrical, less symmetrical? Do you feel like you're tilted a little bit differently now in your pelvis? Notice the gaps behind the lower back now. What's that like? And now very gently roll your head a little bit to one side and a little bit to the other, just to see how free your head is feeling, your neck is feeling right now. Going really slowly. And I want you to imagine there's a tiny clock on the back of your skull, and you're rolling between 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock on your head clock at the moment. And then come back to the middle, and I want you to nod your head a tiny bit up and nod your head a tiny bit down. And now you're moving between 12 and 6 o'clock on your head clock. Very small, obviously. It's the tiniest little clock, the size of a wristwatch or much smaller, maybe the size of a button. And then see what it's like to roll your head around the outside of your clock. 12 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10 to 11 to 12. It's very small. Just do that a couple of times. It's the size, you know, of a small button on a shirt. How small it is. Very small. You might find your nose is tracing the tiniest little circle through space. And then go the other direction with your head. And then come back to the middle and leave that. Bend your knees, stand your feet. Now let's take your pelvis around its clock. So going up to 12 o'clock, and then all the way around in whatever direction you like, around all 12 numbers, really slowly. So you're still doing the first quarter, and then now you're doing the second quarter, and now you're doing the third quarter, and you're doing the fourth quarter. So it's very slow. Notice which direction you've chosen. Start to notice what's happening in your head. Is your head clock also doing something? I want you to allow the movement of your head to match the movement of your pelvis, so that as your pelvis goes around its clock, the head also goes around its clock, even though it's a much smaller clock. So you might feel as you come through 12 o'clock that your head is nodding up a little bit. You roll around the clock, as you come down through 6 o'clock, your head will be nodding down a little bit. As you go to 9 o'clock, your head will be turned a little bit to the left. As you go to 3 o'clock, your head will be turned a little bit to the right. Very subtle, just allowing that. And then pause in the middle. Now what I want you to do is gently press your head into the floor, which will stiffen up your neck. And now go ahead and take your pelvis round its clock with this stiff neck and notice the difference it makes to your poor old clock. This is how many of us try to go through life with a stiff neck, and look how much it interferes with your walking, your running, your dancing, anything that needs your pelvis to be free. And then let your head relax. Let your neck relax and continue to take your pelvis around its clock. And notice now how your head's a little bit freer to join in. Notice how the pelvis has been freed up now. And then pause in the middle. Let your clock come back to the middle. So we're looking at things now that interfere with the free movement of the pelvis. So let's explore this head idea again. I want you to start to roll your pelvis in the other direction. Whatever you weren't just doing. Notice how it feels to go in the second direction. Remembering it's a nice small clock. And now allowing your head to come along with that direction, so your head is making its own clock. Your nose is tracing a small circle through space. There are some Feldenkrais lessons where you're doing about 8 different clocks at once. Today we're just going to focus on 2 clocks, which is still a lot to coordinate. Come back to the middle. Now I want you to just once again press the back of your head into the floor to stiffen your neck up and see what it's like to take your pelvis round its clock with this stiff neck. And you might find it doesn't feel as nice. It's much more jerky, much more limited. This is what happens in life. We go through life with various parts of ourselves fighting against our movement. Let your head and neck relax, and then continue to take your pelvis around its clock and notice the difference when your neck is free. And then pause, lengthen your 2 legs and have a rest. Take a nice big breath in. Might be starting to find that there's a bit more room in your belly for air now to come in. In the belly, the pelvis, the sides of the belly, the back of the lower back. And you might even find you can breathe into the top of your legs. Doing that now, taking a nice big breath in, breathing into the top of the legs. And then bend your knees, stand your feet. Now let's look at one of the other most common ways we interfere with the free movement of our pelvis. So I want you to just gently take your pelvis once or twice around its clock in whichever direction is easiest for you. We all have a habit of how we like to roll our pelvis. That's why when we were children and we played with hula hoops, most of us had one direction that was easier. You're now having the chance to discover that preference for yourself. So pick your easy direction and then pause. Now what I want you to do is just tighten your stomach muscles. Imagine you're doing a Pilates class. You're going to suck your belly back towards your spine, or a core strength or a physio exercise where you have to tighten up your tummy and have a core strength. Now with that amazing core strength, I want you to see what it's like keeping your tummy tight to roll your pelvis around its clock. And some of you may be noticing the effect it has. And this is why most approaches to back pain out there don't work. They're all about core strength and stomach strength, and they basically interfere with your ability to move your pelvis, which is why so many of us did years of Pilates and strengthening exercises and still had sore lower backs. Because when you keep your belly rigid like this, your body cannot move freely. Your pelvis and spine cannot move. In actual fact, you start to crunch your discs every time you walk because your pelvis is not free. Which is, I don't want to tell you this, I want you to feel it for yourself. How limiting it is to keep your stomach tight and try and move your pelvis. And then let your belly relax, let it completely relax, and now see what it's like to take your pelvis in a circle. Isn't that interesting? Imagine now trying to walk or dance or swim or have sex or run, holding your belly tight. Can you imagine how much it would restrict your pelvis and the spine of your lower back and your hip joint? If you don't believe me, just play with that again. Tighten up your tummy muscles. Draw your tummy in, trying to look skinny and have strong core stomach muscles. And now see what it's like to roll your pelvis in a circle. Notice what you feel through your hips, your spine, your pelvis, and then let your belly go again. Our belly needs to be free to adapt to what we're doing. So you'll notice at certain points in the circle, your belly gets longer. At certain points in the circle, your belly gets flatter. At certain points, your belly rolls a little bit. This is what happens when someone's got a naturally free and effortless body. Their belly adapts. It sometimes pulls in, sometimes pushes out. But in our culture, we've evolved this very simplistic idea that we have to keep our stomach muscles tight at all times, and it's one of the major causes of back pain. It was the first thing I had to unlearn in my recovery from 10 years of chronic pain. It was a hard one for me to unlearn because I'd had so many years of being told that core strength was what I needed, and I'd built up so much of it that my back was getting sorer and sorer. The day I realized I could let my stomach go and have free movement was the day my lower back pain started to go. So I'm just offering this for any of you who've ever suffered any lower back pain. It may sound radical, but I just want you to feel it in your own body, the difference that it makes. Feel how as you take your pelvis in a clock, your belly button is also making a bit of a circle. Some of you might even notice that your chest is making a bit of a circle. And go back in the other direction and feel that circle that your belly button is making. Maybe there's a circle that your chest is making. And then let it go. Lengthen your legs and have a rest. Very nice. And just notice as you're resting now how your body's contacting the floor. Space behind your lower back. Space behind your legs, behind your knees. Notice how your pelvis is lying on the floor now. Does it feel tilted differently to the left or the right or forwards or backwards? Does it feel wider, heavier, flatter? And now bend your knees, stand your feet. And now this time cross your right leg over your left and have it really well crossed. So it's not that you have your ankle on your knee, it's that you have the whole leg resting on the other leg. So your lower leg just dangles down, your right foot dangles down. And with your legs crossed like this, see what it's like to take your pelvis around the outside of its clock. And you may notice that when you're only using one leg, the clock becomes a little bit deformed. Maybe it's no longer as round. Maybe it's a bit wobbly or oblong or square or something different. That's okay. Just notice the effect it has of only using one foot. And now you get a real chance to see how your left foot can help you in this movement. And then start to go around the other direction. Did you pick the easier direction first? Or did you pick the harder direction first? What's different? It can still be very small, your clock. It doesn't need to be big. And then pause, uncross your legs, swap them over so your left leg is on top of your right. Have the legs well crossed. And now see what it's like to take your pelvis in its circle now around the outside edge of the clock. And what is different? Is this leg more difficult or easier? Some people have injuries on one side of their sacroiliac or one side of their lower back. You may find that one leg is very different to the other here. But for other people, they may be similar. Then go in the other direction and notice what that feels like. Where is your circle, not a circle? Allowing the belly to stay nice and free. The chest, the head are all nice and free. And then uncross your legs and just pause with your two knees bent. And let's see now what it's like to go around the outside of your clock. With a nice free belly. You might have more of a sense now of how your two feet can help you with this movement. Noticing when you press through one foot, when you press through the other foot as you go around your clock. Noticing the circle that your belly button is making through space. You may even feel your chest is making a small circle. Allowing your head to come along to make its own circle that follows your pelvis circle. You might want to even start exaggerating that head circle now, making it a little bit bigger, rounder. You might now feel that you want to make your pelvis circle a little bit bigger and rounder, just staying still in a range of ease. And then go back in the other direction. Belly, the pelvis making a nice big easy circle, the head, the nose making a nice big easy circle. And then let that go. Lengthen your legs and have a well-deserved rest. As I said at the start, this is a really fundamental Feldenkrais lesson because the thing is, as any martial artist or athlete knows, the pelvis is our biggest source of power. Our hands and our feet, and we use for precision, but our pelvis is the source of our power. Fastest runners in the world, the best dancers in the world, the ice skaters, the gymnasts, the martial artists, they all know that their pelvis is the source of their power. But most of us have very little awareness about our pelvis. We don't know how to use it to its full capacity. We have very few directions that are available for us to move our pelvis in, and over the years this range has become smaller and smaller. Where our pelvis connects to our hip joints becomes more rigid, where our pelvis connects to our spine becomes more rigid, and so the movement range of the pelvis gets smaller and smaller. And why this lesson is so amazing is it's very subtle and gentle, but by the end of it, your brain has had the chance to play with so many different directions of movement of your pelvis, started to figure out which ones it's already familiar with, and it started to learn some new ones. And by the end of this lesson, your brain will have such a bigger range of options available when you're moving that you'll start to find that when you're walking, dancing, running, swimming, moving, bending, pelvis will be able to do things that it couldn't do before and move in directions it couldn't do before, and that gives you much more easy range of movement. Also means you can access your power. If you are someone who throws a ball or needs to run or do anything that requires any power, you need a free pelvis in order to do it. I've taken up tennis recently and I've seen just how much my Feldenkrais is helping me because I know how to use my whole body when I hit the ball. Particularly, I know how to drive the movements from my pelvis. Before Feldenkrais, when I had this holding my stomach in tight and tensing my hip joints and having this sore lower back and not much movement available in my pelvis, I would have had to do the whole movement with my arm. I would have had to hit the ball just with my arm. I wouldn't have been able to use my pelvis or throw my pelvis into it at all. I would have ended up hurting my upper back very badly, probably hurting my shoulders and my arm, not being particularly powerful when I hit the ball. Whereas now, because I've learned through doing so much Feldenkrais how to have a free pelvis, how to use that free pelvis when I move, all the power is coming from my legs and my pelvis, and my arm just happens to be the thing holding the racket that the power gets transmitted through. Very different approach. So this lesson may seem sort of subtle and sort of boring, we're just going around the outside of a clock, but it's incredibly profound. The things it's teaching your brain are priceless. So bend your knees, stand your feet again. And let's just return to the very first movement we did today. So that movement was just simply rolling your pelvis forwards a little bit. So your back gently arches and then coming back through the middle and then rolling your pelvis towards you a little bit. So your back gently flattens. And just see how this feels now. Notice when you press with your feet gently, when you don't. And start to notice, does your head respond at all? So as you roll your pelvis forwards, you could invite your chin to be drawn down towards your chest. And as you press through your feet and roll your pelvis towards you, you can invite your chin to get pushed up a little bit away from your chest. And just feel how there's a connection between the pelvis and the head. And when you think about it, there is actually something connecting your pelvis and your head, and it's called your spine. And so as one moves, the other is naturally pulled along. So they are connected by the spine. And this movement really gives you a chance to feel that. And now I'd like you to just do a very light, fast, small version of this movement. So don't worry about pressing through your feet, just go forwards, back, forwards, back, forwards, back, forwards, back, really small, really gentle, really small, really gentle. And you feel it's like a jelly wobble. And your head might just nod lightly up and down. It's very tiny, very light. Someone looking at you would hardly even see that you're oscillating your pelvis, wobbling your pelvis forwards and back. And just see what's possible with that. And then go back to the very slow, bigger movement now. More of a rolling than a wobbling now, just a really big, gentle, slow roll, and you press through the feet at a certain point. Feel how your head gets rolled as well. And then come back to the middle, and just once or twice take your pelvis round the outside of your clock, and notice what that's feeling like now. Maybe once in one direction, and then once back in the other direction. And then let it go, lengthen your legs, and rest. And take a moment now to scan the effects of doing this precise, very subtle lesson on how your body is currently organized. The sense you have of your posture now. So you might feel like you're lying a bit taller or longer on the floor or shorter, squatter, you might feel wider or narrower. Your shoulders might be lying differently. Your head might be lying differently. Notice your upper back and how that's lying on the floor. Notice the space behind your lower back, your middle back, your upper back on the floor. Is there more of an arch or less of an arch? It will be different for everybody. Notice the way your buttocks touch the floor now. Are they more spread out or less spread out? Notice your pelvis. The main thing we've been looking at today is pelvis. Does your pelvis feel wider or heavier? Do you have more of a sense of where your pelvis is now, how it's connected to you? Does it feel like it's tilted more to the left or more to the right? Does it feel like it's tilted more forwards or more backwards? Notice the space behind your legs, back of your calves, back of your heels. And then take a really big breath in, feeling how you can breathe all the way down into the tops of your legs, to the sides, into your pelvis, the back of your pelvis, the sides of your pelvis. Fully into your belly, the back, the sides, the front of your belly. These are places we don't often breathe. And then let that go. Bend your knees, stand your feet, roll yourself to the side. Slowly come up to sitting. Now with this very differently organized pelvis and spine, we're going to slowly come up to standing and just stand for a minute with your eyes closed or open, whatever's easier, and really allowing yourself to just settle into standing without walking anywhere yet. And notice what's different. And I guarantee for many of you there'll be a lot that's different because you've really reorganized your pelvis. So you might notice the weight on your feet is distributed a little bit differently. Maybe one knee is bending more or less than it was before. Maybe you feel taller or shorter or wider or narrower or more grounded or more airy. Notice your pelvis. Does it feel like it's turned more to the left or more to the right, or is it more in the middle? And it'll be different for each person. Then open your eyes and start to go for a little walk. And just start by noticing how your two legs are swinging now. Some people you might find that's a little bit different. Maybe you're taking slightly different size steps now. And start to bring your attention to your arms, your chest, your back. How are they moving now? Start to notice your pelvis. Does it feel like it's swinging more or less? So bringing your attention to your whole body, where are you on the slinkometer now out of 10? More slinky, less slinky? And then bring your attention just to your pelvis. How much out of 10 is your pelvis on the slinkometer now? How slinky does it feel? And also notice, what sense of movement do you have through your pelvis? Do you feel like it's moving forwards and backwards or left and right or up and down or making circles? You might just have more of an awareness now of where it is, what it's doing. And well done. I just really want to congratulate all of you for doing this lesson. It's a very profound one. It's very, very subtle. It's absolutely fundamental to relearning how to use your body, particularly if you've ever had any stiffness in your lower back or hips, or if you're someone who really wants to be able to move effortlessly and gracefully, having a free pelvis is absolutely the key to that, to free and flowing movement and also to powerful movement. So I really encourage you to do this lesson many, many, many times. Once you're familiar with it, you can just do little bits of it. You might just want to do 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock and back, or you might just want to do 12 to 6, or you might want to go round one half of the clock or one quarter of the clock or the whole thing, or do the bit with the legs crossed over. You can literally break this down into 10 or 20 different lessons. You could do just a little piece of it every morning for 5 minutes. And if you did that every morning, a little piece of this lesson for the next few weeks, you would see a remarkable transformation in the way your body moves. Because the key to everything is having a free pelvis. And that's why I wanted to finish with this lesson in this term, even though it's a very gentle one, it's very profound. So I really want to thank all of you for coming to this term, this 5-week term of classes. I've absolutely had a beautiful time teaching these classes. I really encourage you to make the most of the recordings. It's a very cost-effective way of doing this, to do the classes and then have the recordings you can use for as long as you want. It's one of the reasons I designed it this way. And so I'd love to hear some feedback from people, how you found these classes. It would be really helpful for me to tell people next time I run what the benefits are and how much it's helped people, and just because it's something that not many people know about. That's kind of hard for me to explain to people what it is. So if any of you feel moved to share, I would love to have an email from you. Just email me at tinywolf@gmail.com. And just let me know if there are any particular lessons that have really helped you or that you've liked more than others, or generally over the 5 weeks, how your body's changed or what you've learned, or just anything you want to share that you think might be helpful for other people to hear to help them discover this and try this for themselves. So I'd be really grateful for that. And hopefully I'll see some of you next term. I'm not sure yet when that will be, but I'll be in touch with all of you by email. Until then, really enjoy these 5 lessons. They're absolute classics, and I love them. I do these ones all the time. So have a beautiful rest of the week, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye.